today on the TMZ Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the TMZ Podcast. I'm Charlie Cotton, and joining me on the podcast today is a special guest, Don Lemon. How are you, Don?
I'm great. Do I get a do-do-do, or is that only for the TV?
You get, yes, we'll put one after that. We'll put one after that for you. I appreciate your time, man. You're busy
right now. Thank you. It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Usually I'm catching you at LAX with a camera in my hand, and you're trying to dart and weave out of the way. So it's good just to have you here.
Yeah, every time I try to hide, you guys get me every time. And I think, how do you guys do that? Come on, explain to me. Do you know who's coming in? Do you have like a friend at the airlines who tells you, or how do you know?
Well, sometimes like I'm a friendly guy. I got friends, you know, around the airport who sometimes tell me if they see someone or something, and I'll come over, and you're hard to miss, honestly, Don. So if I just stand in like the VIP or VIP area, I'll see you, no doubt.
Okay. I don't know if I believe that, but hey, I think you guys have a source, a secret source.
Yeah, I'm the source. I'm the source.
Okay.
Hey, all right. You are everywhere right now. You're trending like never before, maybe. Like, this has been a crazy 12 months for you. After your CNN departure, and then you sign with X. Must have been super exciting that you get Elon on your podcast. it has just been a crazy 12 months for you. And you were hired at X. I sort of took it as almost like a counterbalance to Tucker and some of the more sort of right-leaning commentators on the platform. And no, now we've got Don Lemon too. We believe in free speech. So I just wanted to ask you if you believe that Elon really cares about free speech, or is it a bit of a charade?
Okay, I'll answer that question. But let me just tell you, I wasn't hired by X. I just want to get that clear. Like, Elon was not my boss. It was never an X show.
Right.
It was, they were a content partner. So we had a distribution agreement. And so that I would just give them a couple of videos that were exclusive to them for 24 hours, and then they would go everywhere else. So
gotcha.
They didn't hire me, right? So I didn't want people like, Elon Musk fired you. He didn't. I never worked for Elon Musk. They pursued me. I entered into agreement with them to be a content partner,
right?
And a distribution partner. So, okay. So do I think it is, do you, I think that they, or he actually believes in free speech? Is that your—
Yes, correct.
Right? No.
Okay.
I think that he believes in free speech for him. I believe that he would like to believe in free speech. He calls himself a free speech absolutist. If he believed in it, then he would have been able to take the questions that I, very simple questions that I asked, take them in stride, answer them, and then move on. Because that's why he wanted me on the platform, was to be a counterbalance to all of the conservative, extreme, right-wing people that pretty much have taken over the platform. That's not everyone who's on there. But there are a lot of folks on there who are like that. And also he had Tucker Carlson, who's on there, who is very conservative and very right. And so he wanted the perspective of someone who was not that conservative and not that right. That was me. But apparently he doesn't, because someone who doesn't have his political leanings, someone who doesn't have his particular point of view or worldview, obviously is going to disagree with him on issues. That's to be expected. But the moment that someone does, in a sense, I didn't necessarily question some disagreements. And then you say, you know what? I don't want you to be, I don't want to be in business with you. I want to tear up our contract or whatever. That says a lot about the hypocrisy of, this sort of free speech absolutism that he portrays, or he likes to portray himself as being. It's not true.
But your interviews like still remain, you're still putting your interviews on that platform, on another platform, and everywhere you can. But do you think on X specifically, he's trying to sort of like stymie the numbers and like, do some algorithmic magic that pushes down the numbers you might receive?
What do you think, Charlie?
I'm not smart enough to answer that. I don't know if that's possible or if he's that much of a, what do you think?
Well, listen, of course that is possible. I'm not saying that they're doing it, but I mean, if you just look at the, just all you have to do, go on and look at the engagement of my content. But I will say this, he can do whatever he wants to do. He owns it. It's fine. In the interview, he admitted that they suppress speech that they deem to be hate speech or certain types of speech on the platform, right? If they disagree with it. He said, people look at, you know, the posts that are put up there, but they don't look at how many people see them because we suppress that. So obviously they have the ability to do that. And so, you know, do your own research, as they say.
Do you think, given the value you are going to bring to the platform in being that counterbalance, in talking to advertisers with Elon before the contract was canceled, do you think he made a mistake, like a business mistake, canceling your contract?
Of course. Listen, of course I think he made a mistake, because I don't think there's anybody else like me who can do what I was going to do and what he said he wanted. He claims he wanted on the platform. There's no one else like me out there. He may find someone, but they're not going to be able to give him the content that I can give him, that can be able to give him the credibility in the market that I was able to give him. But listen, best of luck to him. You know, deals fall apart all the time. You know that. You're in Hollywood. Show business deals is not saying it's just show business, but in show business, deals fall apart all the time. This deal fell apart. Okay, great. Then you have to live up to your side of the deal. You got to pay me. You got to do whatever it is, that abide by whatever the contract rules were. But I'm not mad that the deal fell apart. I just am disappointed that he claimed he wanted one thing and didn't. And that it's a lost and a missed opportunity, not only for him and the platform, but I think for the world.
So it sounds like you're planning to sort of legally hold him to the contract he signed.
Of course, I'm going to legally hold him. We had an agreement. I went to work. Yeah. They flew me out to CES in Las Vegas to make this announcement. They said if I didn't go out to CES, then the deal was off. They asked me to meet, to have dinner with advertisers in Las Vegas and with other content partners so that they could, you know, tout that Don Lemon was on the platform. They asked me to come in to meet the entire staff, to have meet and greets and to give them ideas about what I wanted, what I was interested in, how I would like them to present me to advertisers, what advertisers I was interested in, my own interest, and on and on. They also asked me to meet with advertisers. I met with advertisers. I tried to woo advertisers back to the platform. They also asked me to do a sort of upfront thing with them, with advertisers, where I sat on stage with Jim Rome and I forget the other lady's name who was, I forget her name. She's in business with Ice Cube and with his basketball league. And we sort of did an upfront with a room full of advertisers. So I was abiding by the rules of our agreement and our contract. I had already gone to work for them. So yes, I expect him to abide by the contract rules as well.
Now, there are reports that as part of that deal, you were going to get like a Cybertruck. You might do a podcast in space. You're going to get equity in
only
the company.
One?
Right. So are those reports true? Is any part of those reports true? Were you going to receive any of those things?
Listen, I haven't read. Listen, let me just say this. That is obviously a distraction, because I'm not sure what that has to do with the interview. And you know, and listen, you're in media and you know when people are trying to distract them. What does that have to do? Let me just say this. If there was someone who asked for you said it's Cybertruck?
A Cybertruck.
Okay, then I should have asked for one for, you know, a whole fleet of them. So, I'm not saying that any of that's true. I'm saying it's a distraction. And people ask for stuff in contract in negotiations all the time. Does that mean you're going to get them? I'm not going to go into specifics about that, because I think it is a distraction. But people ask for, I'm sure, you know, I'm just throwing out an actress, an actor, anybody. I'm sure Brad Pitt would like $400 million for a movie.
Right.
Does that, his representatives may ask for that. Does that mean he's going to get it? No. So this is, it's dumb. Whoever's writing this, it's stupid. It's obviously an agenda, and it's and people are trying to distract from the real thing. The real thing is that Elon Musk did not abide by the contract. He could not answer my questions in real time. He could not defend himself. He became upset by simple questions. And at the end of that interview, he decided he did not want to be in business with me. Okay, that's his right. But it is also my right that he abides by the contract. Look, and that's really what's important.
Look, I totally understand your opinion that it is a distraction and you want to focus just on the interview. But it sounds to me like maybe you did ask for or would have just have liked a Cybertruck or equity in the company. Is that true?
Was there ever a conversation?
Was there ever a conversation about those stuff?
I didn't have a conversation with anyone, but I'm just telling you, there was that. I don't like Cybertrucks, and again, it's a distraction, and I'm not going to fall into it.
Okay,
You can ask X about all of that if you want. You can. Why don't you ask them?
I wish I had Elon too. I could do you first. I could do Elon next. I could hold you both like accountable. That'd be good. But okay, understood.
But what did you say? Something about equity in the company? Yes. Whatever. Go on. Sorry. What's your next question?
Did you want equity in the company? As you say,
no.
You were trying to bring credibility back to the. This is a very valuable thing you were going to offer the company.
Would you like to have equity in TMZ?
I would love it if Harvey would offer, but I don't think that's going to happen.
All right.
So you did ask for it, though.
Well, there you go. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just asking you if you would like to have equity in TMZ.
Okay.
It's so weird. It's so weird that you ask me that and that you're interested. That's not like, how is that a weird thing?
It's not weird.
Something unusual.
I just wanted to verify it or not.
But what does that have to do with the interview?
It's just an interesting story. Like Don Lemon wants a Cybertruck or something like that. It's just interesting. It's just funny little vision of you driving around in a... All right,
it's
I'll move
fun.
On.
I think my answer should just be like, I should have asked for a fleet of Cyber... I don't know.
Right, okay.
I don't care. All right, sorry, go on.
Hey, you're entering like a really crowded space where there's lots of established podcasts already doing interviews, trying to make news. I mean, you're on one right now. How do you plan to sort of keep the attention from the first Elon interview? How do you plan to maintain people's interest in and keep the numbers going up?
Well, I'm not trying to maintain the interest from the Elon Musk interview. What Elon Musk did inadvertently with his actions is sort of, make people more aware of me. It was the publicity was crazy.
Right.
And people are aware of the show. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. I'm still going to have to build an audience. I just think there's more awareness in the marketplace. As you said, this is a very crowded field. It's very tough. I don't expect it to be easy. I never thought it would be easy. I'm actually from the audience that we have received, I am happy that we are in this place. And I've always thought that we have to build from the ground up. That's what you do, especially if you're on YouTube, especially if you're on X. I thought that we would have to, if you're on Spotify, if you're on iHeart, if you're on, Apple Podcasts, you have to build this from the ground up. It's not like this, you have a giant media machine or organization or network behind you. That's expected.
Right.
I'm actually further along in this process than I thought I would be. So what am I going to do? I'm going to continue to work and try new things. Every day, that's what we do. Let's put out a video like this. Let's see how this works.
Right.
Let's respond to this. Let's see how this works. Let's do this sort of interview. Let's see how this works. It's all trial and error. And we're, and we lean into the analytics from the folks who are at YouTube and other places. And we see if it works. And if it doesn't, we try something else. It's just in any normal business. That's how it goes.
So you recently did an episode of your show with Kara Swisher. And you posed the question to her, is Elon Musk a racist? So I'd love to hear your take on that question.
Well, here's the thing. That wasn't me. If you go back and look at the context of that question, there were two questions in there where he talked about race, and there were people on in the responses said, he's a racist, he's this, he's that. And also people have been creating content around the idea that he was uncomfortable sitting in front of me because of who I am. That's why I asked those questions. I said to them, I said to Kara, I didn't think about it that way. Because in my response to Elon Musk, I said he wasn't, his free speech, except when it comes to questions about him from people like me. I didn't say people who look like me.
Right.
I meant people who had a different perspective than me. And so people were saying, well, Don Lemon is pulling the race card and he's calling Elon Musk racist. That's not what I said. And that wasn't the context of those questions. And so do I think Elon Musk is racist? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
I think that Elon Musk has racial blind spots. I think that he traffics in racism. And does that make him a racist? I don't know, but I think it makes him racist adjacent.
Okay. You just put up an interview with Monique, and you guys squashed your beef at the start of the episode. It was great. Are you open to settling any other sort of former feuds? Like, I know you had one with Soledad O'Brien recently. You have one in the past with Jonah Hill. That could be like an interesting thing to get them on the podcast and sort of like squash what you guys had.
With who? Soledad O'Brien? I've got a beef with Soledad O'Brien.
There was a report that you guys, there was like tension in the workplace, you know, leading to the, when you finally.
I never had any tension with Soledad O'Brien. Okay. I haven't spoken to Soledad O'Brien in years. I've never, listen, don't believe everything you read, Charlie Cotton.
Okay. What about Jonah Hill?
Not necessarily true. I haven't, you my get God, Hill? I haven't heard that. I haven't heard Soledad O'Brien's name in probably 10 years.
Right.
Jonah Hill. No, I have nothing against Jonah Hill. I mean, there was Jonah Hill and I had like this little funny thing over Twitter, like, yeah. What, 15 years ago,
ages ago,
when it first started. Yeah, no, I have nothing against Jonah. I mean, have I seen him since? I don't know if I've seen him. Maybe
you
I have
get him
seen
on the
him
podcast.
Like, publicly at a party.
Get him on the
for
podcast.
What? No, who? You're the only person who cares about that. I had even forgotten about that.
Fair
How
enough.
How long ago? Come on, Charlie. Get something new and different.
Okay. All right.
Ask me if I'm going to talk to Elon Musk again or something. I don't know if I'm going to talk to Joe Biden.
Will he talk to you
I'm
again?
I'm going to settle my beef. If I'm going to settle my beef with Donald Trump, now that would be interesting.
Now that'd be a podcast episode right there.
Would of course.
You, would you ever
He's
go back?
The one that called me the. But ever go back where?
Would you ever go back to X if sort of like Elon was like, you know, I'm sorry about everything. And he politely said, you know, my bad. Please come back, Don. We need you. Would you go, all right, I'll consider it.
Look, I don't think that would happen. But look, I'm a reasonable person and I never say never. But, you know, if someone asked me that question, I think Kara Swisher asked me that question. And I said, what would I say? I would say, you know, pay me what you owe me and have a good time. And best of luck to you. So listen, I don't know at this point if Elon Musk is reasonable and if he really wants to hear perspectives outside of his own and outside of the echo chamber that has become Twitter and outside of the echo chamber that has become sort of the MAGA party. So I'd have to really think about it. But, you know, fool me once. Yes, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not, because I went into it with the best of intentions. He told me that I would have every support. He actually tweeted that you would get all the support that you need. You'd be able to do what you do. You know, he had no creative control, blah, blah, blah. I heard that not only from him, but from his management team. And did they live up to it? No, they have not lived up to anything that they promised. They don't even want to live up to a contract that they agreed to. So probably not. I probably would not waste my time.
Right. Well, what about CNN then? Because like a lot has changed since your departure and, you know, there was a shakeup at the top. If they presented you like an amazing opportunity and the money behind it and said, Don, come back to us, man. We love you. Would you be open to considering something like that?
I think I might be open to it only if they offered me a Tesla truck and equity in the company. And that I could go to see how dumb, how stupid that is. Listen, here's what I'll say. I don't think that that is in the realm of possibility.
Right.
I didn't actually think that that I would end up back on CNN in my same studio working, you know, with the same or appearing in a studio with the same group of people who were my camera people and studio people and what have you. So that was like a little surreal. I don't think it's in the realm of possibilities. It would depend on the offer. I don't know if I would want to do a show 5 days a week or what have you, but it would just depend on what it is. But I would have to say, quite honestly, I don't think that that's in the cards. But I do love everyone there, the best journalists in the world. And I loved working with them and being friends with them. But I don't think that working there is really within the realm of possibilities.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Who knows? So you never know. You never know. I mean, did you ever think that I would end up back on CNN within a year?
No, that was crazy to see. That was crazy to see. but the fact I thought sort of opened the door for it, that things can't be like that tense between you guys if they're your first interview after a big story breaks about you.
I had no tension with CNN.
Right.
I don't have any tension with CNN. Here's the interesting thing. I know people say, and you know, that's out there in the zeitgeist since you're written, that I was fired. I was not fired. Why don't you ask Hardy Levin how this works? It's called pay or play.
Right.
Do you know how this works? They have to play you. And if they don't play you, they have to pay you. So technically, I still work for CNN. until my contract expires at the end of 2026.
Right.
So I'm just no longer on their air. And so technically, I know it's a technicality, I was not fired. They just decided, you know, as contracts do, they had to abide by the rules of the contract, ex Elon. So the rules of the contract was that they had to pay me.
Right.
Or they had to play me. That's it.
And they paid you pretty well, reportedly. Like, I mean, the reports are just like 25 mil or something like that.
I don't discuss money or terms.
Can I just say, like, have you done anything? Have you splashed out on anything? Or how do you plan to use any, whatever that amount is, how do you plan to use that money?
I'm investing in my business and I'm investing in my life. I'm enjoying it. I'm getting married soon. I will soon be a husband.
Wow.
I'll soon be part of a married couple. And I'm using that money to take care of my children, which are three beautiful dogs, and my family.
What about?
And that's it.
First comes marriage. Next comes, would you have like potentially any kids or?
First comes marriage. Next comes divorce.
No. Would you be open to having children if like situation was right?
Sure. I mean, God, I'm a little long in the tooth for kids, but sure.
You could do it. What about,
I know.
When is your like wedding planned for?
Wouldn't you like to know? I'm getting married this spring.
This spring to Tim? I follow Tim on Instagram. He seems like a great guy.
No,
like,
not to Tim. It's someone else.
So you get married in the spring. Whereabouts? Here or over in New York or? Don't know. You got to work that out.
I'm not telling you, Charlie, because then I'll end up, you know, walking out of the ceremony, and there will be Charlie Cotton with a camera.
I'll be your best man.
And I'll be
be your best man, right?
Dang it!
No. Oh well, that's very exciting though. That's very exciting though.
Yeah.
You said that after you left CNN that you got like so down, you started to take antidepressants, which was a great, great thing to do. Could you talk to me about sort of like that low point where you said to yourself, like, I need help?
Okay, so listen, I know people write about this, but it wasn't that I got so low down because of that. I have suffered from depression my entire life. And I've seen, you know, have sought therapy my entire life. I think it's normal. I think that, you know, people should be more open and transparent about it. I think, and we should take the stigma off of that. There should not be a stigma with people seeking therapy or taking antidepressants.
Of course.
When I was on CNN, I discussed this. I used to discuss it all the time with Chris Cuomo. We would talk about it. So this is not anything new and not any big revelation. But what happened to me was so public, and you know, it was a little bit more than I had dealt with, but it wasn't because I was so down or depressed that I could not move on. I thought it was important to talk about it. And I thought it was important for people to understand that, you know, when you have things that happen to you, or even if you just are dealing with depression, that you should do whatever you can to try to combat it and to deal with it.
Totally,
and so
great.
During that interview, this is all because of the Elon Musk interview. During that interview, he talked about his depression.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about ketamine use,
right,
which he brought to the public sphere. I did not. He said, it's a personal question to ask people about their personal drug use. And I said, yeah, it is. But you're the one who talked about it first. And I'm asking you about it because of that. And so he said that he dealt with depression. And I said, I dealt with depression too. And that I was taking antidepressants. And, you know, during the summer when, you know, I left CNN, I wanted to make sure that I took care of myself. So I made sure that I had my regular sessions with my therapist. And I made sure that, you know, with that, that I did everything that was, how do I say this? Everything within my means to make sure that I was okay. And that meant taking the SSRI.
Right.
To make sure that I did not go into a place that you know, mentioned before, that I got down or so low. That never happened because I made sure I took care of myself to make sure that I didn't go to that place.
Good for you. Good for you, for sure. Would you be open to trying ketamine therapy like Elon takes for his issues?
Did you not listen to the interview?
I did.
Or me? I have had guided drug therapy with a therapist before.
With ketamine?
I'm not sure if it was ketamine. I don't know if it was ketamine, but I know that I have under the care of a doctor. Yes, it's no secret. I said that during the interview.
So yeah. You'd be down to...
But I don't think it was ketamine.
Okay.
I don't think it was ketamine.
What about ketamine specifically? You know, would you be down to try ketamine therapy? If it does wonders for Elon, you never know. It might work for you.
Sure. I mean, what do you think? Those are... What do you think LSD is? It's a mind... What do you think it was? Those drugs were made for initially? That's what those drugs were made for. Mm. For mind expansion and to be used with doctors and a therapist. I have nothing against people who do that under a doctor's care. There's no stigma to it.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it as long as you're not abusing it and as long as you are doing it as instructed by a physician who is authorized to do it. I have no issue with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, me neither. And it sounds like, you know, it could be. I mean, it can be.
But look at my CNN Plus show, when I had the talk show, we did a whole episode on this, on drug therapy. And look at how members of our military who do drug therapy, who had PTSD, and they went through talk therapy. They did all kinds of things. Nothing worked. And the moment that they went through drug therapy, and I don't know if it was ketamine, I'm not sure the exact drug. Some ketamine works for some people. Microdosing mushrooms work for some people. I don't know whatever drug or other drugs, but there are other drugs that work for people. And they have gotten past PTSD and whatever issue that they were having because of that drug therapy. So I think it's all great if you're doing it and it helps you and you're doing it the right way. Why not?
Right, right. I heard an interview with you where you was like, you know, I've tried pot, you know, a few times, but I prefer mushrooms. And, you know, somewhat agree. I mean, not bad at all. How much do you just like do it sometimes or just for fun or?
Do what?
Mushrooms.
Oh, no. I was joking about that. But I have done mushrooms before, and I would prefer, you know, that to pot. But pot makes me too, you know, I go inside my head too much, and I can't really communicate with people.
Hey, we need to have a smoke session. I think Don, you and me need to have a smoke session.
No, I can't do pot anymore. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it. It is legal. I just don't like the way it makes me feel. And
fair enough.
I remember when my friend, a couple of, I think it may have been last summer, invested in a mushroom company and said, I want you to try it. And I tried one and I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Yeah. Last question is the most softball-iest question, of course. Who would be your dream interview guest on your show? Like if you could have your choice of anyone, what would be your favorite sort of subject to choose?
Besides you and Harvey and Charles, my favorite guest, I think right now in this moment, honestly, I would love to interview Elon again.
Really?
Right? There are a couple. It's not just one. Yeah, of course I would. Because I would want to know why he was so upset by the interview and why he couldn't answer questions for himself man to man, face to face, instead of going on Twitter and having keyboard courage and becoming a keyboard warrior instead of a man who stands up for himself in the moment.
Do you think that'd ever happen? Do you think he'd come on again?
You never say never, but I doubt it because I think, again, he doesn't really like having to answer questions. But yeah, maybe. I would like to have, obviously, the president of the United States come on, Joe Biden. I would interview Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And
what would be your first question to Donald Trump?
I think I would ask him, I would say why he wants to be president. I would ask him why he lies about the election being stolen so much.
Like, and what is his evidence? I don't never lie.
Well, and then I would present him with the evidence and I would read probably, I don't know, I would present him with the evidence of what it is. But I would really like to have a constructive conversation with him if possible. But I don't know if he would do it.
Well, the easiest person on that list for you to get is me. So, you know, I'll be waiting by the phone. Hey, listen, I really thank you for joining me, mate. This has been really good. I appreciate, you know, our direct dialogue, and I'll see you at the airport sometime. I'll whip out my camera and we can do it all again.
But Can I go through? Isn't there like a secret entrance for like really uber wealthy people, an exit that I can know?
Spend some of the severance
on it. There
is, I know. Yeah, I mean, there probably is, but I'm not going to tell you about it, man. I want to see you.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, all this stuff that you read about me, look, don't believe everything you read, okay?
Right.
And you know me. I'm actually a really fun person.
Oh, I love seeing you and talking to you.
Yeah, so don't believe all the bullshit that people write about me. Look, it's interesting being the subject of tabloids, but most of what they write is not true.
Very good.
If you ever want to know about me, about something, you know how to, you know, reach out to me and ask me.
So, come to the source. Yeah. That's right. Okay, well, thank you so much, Don. I really appreciate you. Thanks for the chat, and I'll see you later.